Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
God is good. The presence of the Lord is in this place, and we are on holy ground. We definitely are the Holy Spirit. I know Gio's heading over there to give us a little more light. Let there be light. And Gio just made the lights come on. Wow. We are now in week 10 of Holy Moses. And you know, I like to do review, but there's a few things in here that really, in this lesson tonight, that just extremely touched me and blessed me. And so I'm going to get through the review pretty quick here. Last week we talked about how God had spoke through Moses and warned Pharaoh of the judgments that would come against Egypt. And God did not have to do that. Do you know that God doesn't have to warn us, but he does warn us because he gives us all the information we need to make godly, righteous decisions. And that's part of God's mercy and his grace, isn't it? So that how can you judge somebody if you never told them what was right or wrong or told them what they're supposed to do, and then you're going to punish them, us? That would not be fair. That would not be just. And God goes beyond just being a just and fair God. He goes into being a merciful God, and a God of his grace is amazing. And I love how Amos 1:7 said, "Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." When we're close to God, and God will reveal these things to us, God will speak to us. And I have people tell me that they don't believe that God speaks today. And I say, well, I believe God does speak today. What I believe is you're not listening when God speaks. That's what I believe. And so, but he primarily speaks through his word, the living word. You know, you remember what I said yesterday. I said someone came up to me and said, when you teach, you make the word come alive. And I said, no, I don't make the word come alive. The Bible says the word is alive. It already is alive. So the word of God is alive. It says in Hebrews 4, alive and active. I like that. The word of God is alive and working, active, sharper than a double-edged sword, any double-edged sword. It penetrates to the dividing of the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And last week we were talking about the Red Sea crossing, and Pharaoh had decided to pursue the people of God. He represents the enemy, and we know that the enemy pursues us. But I thank God that God pursues us. Hasn't God pursued you throughout your life? And, you know, it's that saying, and I said yesterday and probably a million times, that I never found God because God wasn't lost. God found me because I was lost. I never pursued God. God pursued me. And we can see this throughout the Bible, how God pursued people. And when Israel had escaped, and not really escaped, Pharaoh allowed them to go reluctantly. God set them free by the blood. There were two mountain ranges on each side, and the Egyptian army behind them, the Red Sea ahead of them, and God saying, go forward. And they were concerned, and they were worried and upset because going forward meant the Red Sea, and I'm pretty sure everyone couldn't swim. The babies couldn't swim. We can't run fast. We can't climb these mountains. But God is the way maker. He's the way maker. He can make a way when it seems there is no way. He's done it. He did it for them, and he's done it for us. And the people complained against Moses. And by the way, throughout my study of the book of Exodus, I feel like these people needed to go to anger management class desperately. They needed to sit through some anger management classes because they were constantly complaining. They were constantly angry at God, first of all, and at Moses, Aaron, whomever was in leadership. God is a miracle-working God, but all miracles, I want to say this tonight, every miracle that you have ever experienced in your life or will experience comes through the cross. It comes through the cross. I'll say it again, through the cross, through Christ. Without him, there's no miracles. There's false things that the Egyptians of Egypt, we see that the magicians and sorcerers, they could create snakes with sleight of hand and things. They could make a problem, but they couldn't get rid of the problem. When Moses threw the rod down, he got rid of the problem. He can get rid of the snakes and the demons. But they could create a problem, but not make a problem. And that was only through witchcraft. So Moses, his rod represents the cross and the work of the cross that Christ did, the complete finished work of the cross, because God counted his son from before the foundation of the world as having shed his blood. When Moses lifted up his rod, the seas parted. They stood up like two walls, and the people walked across on dry ground. That was a miracle, but it was beyond a miracle. It was a supernatural miracle. There are miracles. A baby being born, I would say, is a miraculous event. It's something that is just a miracle. But a supernatural miracle is an out-of-the-ordinary miracle that could not happen by any means except divine intervention. And so this was a supernatural miracle. I told you last week that I was reading my father's Bible. And in that Bible, I love his quote, what he wrote in the sidelines. He said, he wrote it in the sidelines. It's in my dad's handwriting. No one but God could build a wall out of water. And that's what the Bible says, that God blew on the Red Sea and built two walls out of water, and they went through on dry ground. And I would say that no one can dry out the ground that fast either. No hair dryer, no blow dryer, nothing can do that. But God, the breath of God, the breath of God. And we sing a song years ago that I love, said, breathe on me, Holy Spirit, breathe on me. That's where miracles come from. Talk about mouth-to-mouth resuscitation when you're breathing for someone. Let me tell you, breath of God, breathe through me. And I've prayed that for people. During the time of COVID, I had to pray for someone. I said, I need breath of heaven. I need you to breathe, God. I need you to resuscitate them. And it happened. And so remember I told you that the theologians and the scientists and the experts tried to explain it was a tsunami type of situation, that this was not real, this was made up, there's a reasonable explanation for it. There's no reasonable explanation for this at all, because either way it's God, because it happened exactly at the time they needed to cross over, and then it quit at the time the Egyptians needed to be drowned in it. And so it was just an amazing, amazing miracle. And what happened next was, I'll say that they sang and they praised God, and that's what they should have been doing. But it wasn't long, because we're a people who forgets the goodness of God. We have short-term memory loss when it comes to spiritual things, don't we, often? And so they had finished, they no longer finished singing. They journeyed 3 days into the wilderness, could find no water. The waters were bitter. And again, they began to... You know, you would have thought, instead of complaining, that they would say, it is time for us to pray and sing again, like we did before, and God will intervene in our behalf. But no, now they're attacking Moses again. He's an easy target. And it wasn't Moses' fault that the Red Sea was before them, and it's not Moses' fault that they had no water, the water's bitter. But Moses interceded and cried out to God. God showed him the tree, cast it in the waters, and the waters were made sweet. The waters, the Bible calls it, the waters were healed. The waters were healed. Let me tell you something that I believe, that theologians believe, that water, when it says that the waters were bitter, the better translation is the waters were poison. The waters were poisoned. If they drank the water, they were in trouble. And let me tell you something. The water of the world, let me say, if you drink from the water of the world, it is bitter and it's poison, people. It's bitter and it's poison. But what will turn the water sweet? The tree of Calvary. The tree of Calvary will turn the bitter, poison water sweet. So this is a powerful lesson for us. But I'm going to read Exodus 15:26, and I'm going to talk about this. And said, if you diligently, which means get serious about things, heed the voice, listen and obey of the Lord your God, and if you will do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments, keep his statutes, law, and commands, I will put none of the diseases on you that have come upon the Egyptians. Okay, I want to stop here. The translation is incorrect. Many people will say that I have brought upon the Egyptians, which appears, that have, the better translation is that have come upon the Egyptians, not that I have put upon the Egyptians. You can't say that God is merciful and he's not at the same time. And I don't have time to go into it, because there were times when God did mass, said, get rid of this group of people or that, and there was a reason for it, but it was a righteous and a holy reason. There was a time when God got rid of a whole group of people, the children, the cattle, everything. And there was a reason for it, because it was his mercy and his love, because these people were strong idol worshipers, and these children and this next generation, they were going to go right into that idol worship stuff. Sometimes God will remove us in order to save us. He knows what our decision will be. I've seen this in a case of someone who was highly addicted to drugs, and they got set free from drugs, and wouldn't you know that they got sick and they died while they were saved. Let me tell you something. That's the grace and mercy of God, because the way I see it, there might have been a possibility they would go back to that old life, and so God allowed them. He took them home. God spares us sometimes, and we don't understand it. But this verse says, if you will diligently do what's right in God's sight, because he says, for I am the Lord who heals you. Now, I really want to talk real briefly again about the Lord who heals you. If God had just said, I am the Lord who heals, I don't care. Did I have a question? You're the Lord who heals. Who heals who? Who are you going to heal? I mean, is God, a lot of people feel that God spins like a wheel of fortune thing, or somebody's really good and God heals them. Let me tell you something about a man laying at the pool of Bethesda who didn't even know God. He couldn't do anything for God. He didn't do anything for God. He was laying at a pool and he did not know Jesus, but Jesus knew him. And I praise God for that, that even those who don't know Jesus, that he will heal out of his mercy. The Bible says the goodness of God brings men to repentance. You don't have to beat them up and say, hell is hot on your heels, buddy. How about telling them, God's been good to me. He's done great things for me. Would you like to know about Jesus? Don't start out with the hell talk. That's later. Okay, that's part two. Let's start out with, God is good. Let's come meet Jesus. Let's tell them later that, hey, you really dodged a bullet over here. You know, hell is hot. You know, and like I said yesterday when I read the thing that I wrote on Facebook, I do think it's time for preachers, pastors, leaders to teach that heaven is real and hell is hot and there's room at the cross for you. That's what I believe. And, you know, but God didn't say, I am the Lord who heals. It's much better than that. He says, I am the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord who heals Frida, Janice. I'm the Lord who heals Pastor Ken. I'm the Lord who heals Beulah, Irma, all of us. He is the Lord. Now that's what I'm talking about. I want to know that Jesus will heal me, that I won't be left out, that you're just the Lord who heals whom you choose to heal, because God's will is to heal all of us, that we would prosper and be in health, which means that we're healed. But here's the thing. I can't teach this righteously and honorably without talking about the verse that says, if thou wilt diligently hearken, listen, and obey. Healing is available to every single one of us. Salvation is available. People will come and tell me this. Now, this is what happens in my life. People will come and tell me, why isn't everybody healed? Can you explain that to me, Pastor Man, why everybody is not healed? And I say, can you explain to me why everyone is not saved? It is God's will for everyone to be saved, right? Why are they not saved? Come on, let's hear it. They haven't chosen. They haven't surrendered their life to God. They haven't confessed to him. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess your sins. Believe that he died, buried, risen, and you'll be saved. What about healing? If you will diligently... Why did you ever wonder... Let's go back to it. Did you ever wonder why Exodus 15:26 starts out with, if you will listen and do what's right, I will put none of these diseases. And then he says, I am the Lord who heals you. But he starts out by this obedience talk. If you will listen and obey, the two go together. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I can't ask for healing if I'm working against my healing and expect God to do something that I don't even agree with, because obedience is your agreement with God that he will heal you. But it says, a covenant, by the way, is a two-party agreement. It's two people that enter in. God will always, now, does that mean that it won't work, that if I can't do so? No. God will always keep his part of the covenant. If the covenant is broken, you or I broke it, not God. Not God. He will always, now, something else, I'll break it down and be clear. But God's word is for you and I today. It's not outdated. It's not an antique. These Bibles we have are not antique. It's not just for a few people, some of the people. God's word has no expiration. It's timeless. It's eternal. Therefore, every passage in the word of God, every word belongs to you and I. But the blessings of the covenant, let me say it like that. The blessings of the covenant are not automatic. Sorry. There I said it. Sorry, not sorry. There I said it. They're not automatic. We must appropriate these blessings and receive them through our obedience and surrender to God, through honoring God. Protection is in God's covenant. Now, I want to show you something that hit me like a ton of bricks as I was studying and had never noticed this before in Exodus 12. During the time that they were going to leave Egypt, and God told them, kill the lamb, do this for 7 days, do that, kill the lamb, eat the lamb, apply the doorpost to the top and the sides, not the bottom, because you don't trample the blood, put it on the doorpost and the sides, and eat every bit of it, and stay inside your houses. But there was a phrase in there that says, that when you come into the house, not one of you is to go outside the house before morning. I can't even tell you all of a sudden the revelation I had about that. I was just about shaking. Because people teach that once you are saved, you can never lose your salvation. Do you know that this passage says differently? Do not go outside the house where the blood is applied. You can leave the house, and what would have happened had they left the house where the blood was applied? The destroyer would have targeted them, and he would have got them. He would have got them. Why did he say, stay in the house where the blood is applied? The blood must be applied. We can walk away, and that lines up with the word of God that says we choose. Every day we get to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If I read you that verse tomorrow, it's going to say the same thing. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If I read it next Tuesday or next year to you in this same spot, say choose you this day whom you will serve, you'll be choosing all over again. Because every single day we must honor the blood of the Lamb. I can't tell you how important that is. And so, we continue on, and of course, you know, I've seen this so clearly during the time of COVID, and I know I've repeated this, but I will never forget when we first started hearing about COVID, and we had a meeting here on Tuesday night, but it was on Sunday night, and Pastor Gill was speaking, and as he was speaking, I don't even know what he said, I was sitting over there, and the Holy Spirit said, tell these people we've got to apply the blood. We've got to have, when we meet on Tuesday night, we have, you'll remember, we had the communion set up. The Lord spoke to me, said, tell them to apply the blood. The destroyer is coming through the land, and we must apply the blood if we're going to live and we're going to be safe. And not one of us died or perished. The blood is that powerful, even today, that blood. And that's, we can't walk away from that. We can't reject that. And people do that. And I've heard people say, it doesn't matter what you say. You can say, I hate the blood. I hate the Holy Spirit. No, you can't. No, you can't. Sandra yesterday overheard a conversation between someone, and that person was saying to someone else, I don't care about this and I don't care about that. I care about you and your friend's soul. That's all I care about. And I thought, you go, girl. You go, girl. You tell him, I care about your soul. Do not take that risk. Do not practice greasy grace saying that, hey, God's just going to put up with anything. I promise you he's not. I promise you he's not. You will not disrespect him. You will not dishonor the blood, trample the blood, or make light of the things that Christ has done and paid for on Calvary. But here, this is interesting. 16:2 says, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now, this is 2 months out into the wilderness, and they're complaining. Of course they are. They were complaining before that, even quicker than that. But here they are. And the children of Israel said to them, oh, like, I wish that we had just died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full, and here you brought us out into this wilderness to kill all of us with hunger. And I'm thinking to myself, you people act like it was a buffet in Egypt. You act like this was the Ponderosa, that there was no pots of meat. There was no big baked bread. They barely survived. They're not being honest. And Moses did not bring them out so that they could die. God did not lead them out so they could die. And then the Lord said to Moses, this is interesting. Now, let me tell you why it's interesting to me. I'll read it first. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. I love that song tonight, by the way. Let it rain, let it rain. Because as soon as they started singing that song, I thought about this lesson. And it said, let it rain. I'm going to let it rain bread. I thought, yeah, let it rain. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. I've never read that phrase anyplace else. And the people shall go out and gather a particular amount every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. I got to test your obedience. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily, because on the Sabbath they were not gonna gather. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if it starts raining bread outside, that's a miracle, a supernatural miracle. If you ever see that happen, that will be what I call a supernatural miracle. And God, if he did it once and something happened on our land, no joke, he could do it again and would do it again. I love how kind and good God is. I want to show you how merciful God is. So the people complained about not having bread and meat. And if I was God, let's pretend that I'm God. And they come to me and they're complaining after all I've done, bringing them out of Egypt, taking them out of bondage, parting the Red Sea for them, and now they're coming to me, I'm God or Moses or whoever, and they're wanting bread and meat. I would go, here's your garlic and onions, here's your lemons, your limes, you know, eat what you want. I'm not going to do this. I ain't playing this game. But do you know how good God is? Do you know how kind he is and how much he cares? They're complaining, and you know what he says? Okay, I'll give you quail, and I'll give you manna from heaven. I'll give you the bread you want. I'll give you enough. I'll give you more than enough, and I'll give it to you. Thank goodness I'm not God. They ain't getting. You know, so God's like, okay, biscuits it is. Chicken it is. You know, but not me. If I was God, I'd be like, I don't think so, kids. I don't think so. You can complain all you want. But you really can't do that because Moses said they were about to stone him. But you know what? God told them, he said, I heard you complaining. And Moses even asked, he goes, why are you complaining about me? Why are you complaining as if this was me? Because I don't have the power to give you the water, the quail, the bread that you want. But God said, I heard you complaining. And you know what? Sometimes we don't want to admit we complain, right? We don't, and sometimes it's not even what we say, it's how we think about God. And I want to remind you of the story of Sarah in the Bible when she laughed at the promise of God. I mean, boy, that's pretty good, Sarah. God's been good to you. I could think of so many things, Sarah, and now God wants to do something good for you and says he's going to do something good for you and give you a child that you've wanted all your life. And you think that's a joke. You think, in other words, you think God is a joke. And so Sarah laughed, but the Bible said she lied, and God asked Abraham, he said, why did Sarah laugh? And Sarah's like, I did not laugh. I did not laugh. And God goes, you did. You know why? Because the Bible said she laughed inside herself. If you think God's a big joke, we even are responsible for our thought life, how we honor God in our thought life, what we think about God, what we think about what God does. I mean, if God does something you don't agree with, you can't just sit there and think, boy, that's pretty lousy. That's pretty lousy that God didn't come through for that person. No, 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 no. He is good. No matter what your situation, no matter what your circumstance, you know. So, but there's a funny thing in Exodus 16, 9. And Moses spoke to Aaron and he said, say to the congregation of Israel, come close to the Lord, for he has heard your murmurings. You know what? If Aaron called me and said, God's heard your complaining, he wants you to come over here, I'd be like, oh no, what has happened? God is calling me in his office. I don't want to go. But God is so gracious. And it came to pass as Aaron spoke to the congregation that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, they saw the glory of the Lord appear in a cloud. They could physically see this cloud of the presence of the Lord. I just love that. I think it's wonderful. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Moses probably should have said, I have too. But this is scary stuff, because God is speaking to Moses and there's this cloud of glory and God is saying, I heard you guys. And, you know, but here's what God said, because again, I just submit to you the goodness of God. Speak to them and say, in the evening you will eat flesh, the quail, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. By the goodness of God. And here you are complaining about God. You know, that just reminds you of how you can misjudge someone. You can misjudge God. Well, God, I guess you don't care about us eating bread and biscuits, and I guess you don't want us to have the good stuff, and I guess you're not going to give. And God turns around and goes, I do. I do. I want to give you the good stuff. It reminded me of, Mom will remember this story, years ago when we were kids, me and my sister had gotten our first job, and our dad sat us down and he said, you're going to pay tithes first, and then you're going to pay for your contacts second, because he had fronted us the money. And he said, and then you're going to pay for room and board. I think it was $20 each of those things, like $60. But we didn't make very much, and Mom's laughing. And so by the end of the, when we got our first check, we owed Dad, each of us, like $60. That was a ton of money compared to what we were making at the time. And so me and Sandy would sit, you know, privately, and we would be like, he's such a loser. I mean, why would you do this? Charge your own kids. This is disgusting. All Dad wants is our money. He's just money hungry. Now, this is our dad who's provided every Christmas gift we've ever gotten. And he's provided all the food, took us to Kittyland, takes us to Dairy Queen, takes us over to the Burger King, which is a big deal back in them days. And, I mean, just feeds us all at the smorgasbord on Harlem. And we're just like, he's just money hungry, grabbing our money he wants now that we got a job. And we have to pay to live in this house. And we don't even have our own room. And so the night I got married, you know, the reception was over and stuff like that, my dad comes to talk to me and he says, he said, Mom and I are giving you a gift. And he said, and we've added all of the room and board that you paid over the, he had it up, he gave it back. And I felt like, oh, this is just a ruin in the whole thing, you know. But goodness. You know, God has to do things to discipline us and to help us learn and to help us grow and to build our character, to make us men and women of honor and integrity. But everything he does, even in correction or conviction, it's for our own good. And because he's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. And that's, so I tell people that story when I'm talking to them about tithing. And they'll say, you know, well, I don't want to give God and I don't have to give God. I tell them the dad story. And say, he's going to give it all back. He's going to give it all back. And when you get to the wedding supper of the Lamb, you're going to know that he gave it all back. He gave it all back and then some. And you didn't lack anything. So don't misjudge God. And it's such a wonderful story. But God hears our murmurings and our complainings. But you know what I would like to say? I don't want God to hear my murmurings and complainings. I want God to hear my praises and my singing. We're going to ask our musicians to make their way up here. But I just have to tell you, I think that God would be so pleased to just say, you know, God, I have so much to be thankful for. You know, something that I sent to John Adair, my friend Sylvia, that died. There's this article. Most of you know that Bill Johnson lost his wife, Benji, just not all that long ago. I think it's been close to a year now. And he wrote some notes. You can see them on my Facebook. 3 days he wrote them after she had died. They were his notes. And he said, how would I, why would I judge God for what he didn't do? And why would I come against God having given? It's beautiful, his notes. I mean, you really ought to go to my page and read those notes. They're very, very beautiful, and they're very encouraging if you've ever suffered any kind of a loss to understand in the middle of it all, he is still God and he is still good. He is always going to be a good, good God. When we don't understand it, wherever we're standing at, he's a good, good God. If we have water and if we don't have water, if we're hurting, if we're not hurting, he's still a good God, and he provides for us. And you know what? I took away from part of this as the, I didn't get to half my notes tonight, but I took away from this, we don't have to complain. Do you realize in this lesson, they did not have to complain about not having bread or meat? They could have just said, God, could you give us bread and meat? It didn't have to come to that, in other words. They could have just asked him and he would have said yes, because he did even when they were complaining. Okay, you don't have to complain and say, God, why don't I have healing? This, thank him for his goodness and ask him for it. The Bible says a lot of times, they hadn't asked God. They had demanded water at one time from Moses, but they weren't asking with a right heart. Let's just ask God for our needs, and he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory through the cross, through Christ Jesus. I love you guys, and let's take a time to worship here.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.